All right, welcome back. It's the Avid Investor Podcast with me, your host, Josh Adamek. And today we have episode 57, and I'm going to cover how the keys to a successful business. And if you're watching on video, if you're not watching on video here, we got the special St. Patrick's Day edition. I got my leprechaun shirt on, my clover's on my shirt. I got my hat. I got my beard. Everything ready to go. I got the hat and the beard on here. Taking my kids to school this morning, and you know, they said, "Daddy, you got to wear that to work today." I'm like, "Okay, I'm gonna wear it to work today." So here goes. See if I can keep it on the whole time and keep this hair out of my mouth and keep talking, but we'll see. So anyways, let's go. let's cover the keys to a successful business. Again, episode 57 of the Avid Investor Podcast. I'm going to talk a little bit today about, you know, what I feel the keys to starting, growing, and continuing to maintain a successful business might be. And first and foremost, most important thing. Well, first and foremost, I'm going to ditch this hat because I'm already getting like hair in my mouth and getting hot. But anyways, we're going to talk about the keys to business. And what is that? What's the most important part of running a successful business, building a successful business, growing a successful business, other than you know, of course, reputation, and you know, all your personal attributes that go behind that. But the key, the number one key to a successful business is sales, without a doubt, sales. I'm racking my brain on my way into, you know, prepare for this episode. And I'm thinking, I'm like, man, I can't think of any businesses that don't have sales in one capacity or another, that don't involve sales. And I would absolutely love your feedback. So do me a favor, if you're listening to this and you can think of a business that doesn't involve sales, some form or fashion of sales, please let me know. Drop me a comment, send something, shoot me a DM, whatever. You know, I'm going to continue to think about that, but any business that I know of, you know, has some sort of customer, some sort of product, some sort of mix of the two. And as a business owner, you have to be able to properly serve your customers, serve your clients, and provide a quality product, you know, efficiently and effectively. So that, you know, that's the keys to a business. So, you know, when we talk about sales, like I've been in sales all my life, like, you know, as far back as I can remember, you know, I've been selling something. I mean, you know, even, you know, when I talk about, you know, in previous episodes, the pepperoni roll sales that, you know, the little adventure that my son Arthur and I went on, for his Cub Scout troop, you know, that was his first toe in the water with sales, and you know, it was more than a toe in the water. He dove in head first and absolutely crushed it. You know, for those that don't know, that didn't listen to the episode, it was amazing. You know, we did a fundraiser for Arthur's Cub Scout troop, and I asked him, I said, "Buddy, do you want to do this? You want to do this for real?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "It's going to be a lot of work." He said, "Okay." I said, "We're going to run it like a business." He said, "Okay." And fast forward, what we did is we put together a marketing video, we put together a plan, we came up with some scripts, you know, and put some videos out on social media and stuff. And then we went door knocking, old school door knocking. He made some phone calls, but at the end of the sales, he probably knocked a couple of hundred doors, over three or four different neighborhoods. We went out a couple of different times in cold weather. The one day it was 20 degrees out. It was absolutely freezing, but he wanted to do it. I think we were out in the rain one or two days, but he kept going. And at the end, when he was all said and done, you know, he did his marketing, he did his door-to-door sales, he did his accounting and bookkeeping, you know, inventory management, all of that stuff. Delivered his product, and at the end, he ended up selling, I think, 206 Zroni rolls, pepperoni rolls, where the entire Cub Scout troop as a whole sold a little less than 300. So one kid, Arthur, my son, sold 206 out of a little less than 300 total sales. So he absolutely crushed it. It was amazing. And the confidence that he gained from that, and the knowledge that he gained, you know, every time, you know, he knocked on a door, he walked up the steps a little bit quicker. He stood a little bit closer to the door. He was shaking hands with people, you know, saying thank you. Like that stuff that we haven't really worked on up until then. And it was amazing to see his progress on that over time. But let me reel myself back in here and get to my point of you know, the key to sales, the key to successful business is sales. Why is that? There are so many business owners that have an amazing product, that have amazing abilities to serve their customers, to serve their clients. However, they are terrible at sales and terrible at running a business. And the business is affected drastically because of their inability to promote and sell their product and obtain customers and get new customers. So for me, it all goes back to, you know, one book, which is The Key to Sales. It's the absolute keys to the sales vault. It's How to Master the Art of Selling by Tom Hopkins. If you haven't read that, go ahead and grab that book. It's probably like $15, $10, $20 or something on Amazon, or you can get it on, that one's actually on Audible. I've listened to it a few times. I've read it, the paperback cover to cover, probably at least 5 or 6 times. I've listened to it on Audible a couple of times. It's How to Master the Art of Selling by Tom Hopkins. It's a black and green cover or something like that. I know there's a couple of different revisited or variations, or, you know, like a reprint, of the book, but the original is the green and black one. So grab that, go through it. And it's just some of the basic stuff when it comes to sales. So, you know, one thing is, and a major, you know, point of the book, what the book is all about. So let me back up on Tom Hopkins first. Tom Hopkins, who was introduced to me by my good friend and mentor, John Burley out of Phoenix, Arizona, who teaches a lot of Hopkins, and, you know, talks and gives tons and tons of credit to Tom Hopkins. But Tom Hopkins was a real estate agent. I don't remember when. It was decades ago. I think it was back in the 80s, maybe, that he was a real estate agent. And this was pre-internet, pre-cell phone, pre-team, pre-real estate team. Tom Hopkins, as an individual, sold 300 and some homes. I can't recall the exact number, but it was over 300 homes in 1 year as an individual with no team, no phone, no cell phone, no computer, no GPS, no technology, nothing. This was in the 80s that he did this. And it was decades, not years later, it was decades later that someone with a team beat his sales number. So if you want to learn a lot about selling and communications and how to lead your customer to make a decision that's in their best interest, if you want to learn those things, keywords, what to use, not what not to use, study Tom Hopkins, How to Master the Art of Selling, as if it's the sales Bible, without a doubt. I mean, there's, it's just an amazing, you know, book of information there. So highly recommend that. You know, one key point in there that I always go back to, I don't have a single tattoo, but I've thought about getting this one somewhere, maybe right across my forehead here backwards, so I can see it like every day when I look in the mirror. And I know somebody's going to say, I'll pay for it. You get it. I've had that one before. So the Tom Hopkins, The Champion's Creed, it is, I wrote it down just so I get it right. I know it. I just want to make sure that I got it right. So I am not judged by the number of times I fail, but by the number of times I succeed. And the number of times I succeed is in direct proportion to the number of times I fail and keep trying. That hits home, like with, when it comes to sales, you know, sales, it's like, you know, the old saying, it's like, when you're in sales, you're either drinking heavily or drinking heavily. And I don't drink. You know, if you do, that's great. Good for you. But you know, it's like sales are up, sales are down. So, you know, a lot of people, they're either celebrating heavily or they're like down in the dumps because sales are down. So the whole, you're either drinking heavily or drinking heavily is kind of a joke. When we go back to The Champion's Creed, that I'm not judged by the number of times I fail, but by the number of times I succeed, and the number of times I succeed is in direct proportion to the number of times I fail and keep trying. Like, that's it. Like, when you're a business owner, you got to keep, you know, especially when you're in startup phase, and you know, everybody's got a different definition of startup phase, or when you're in growth mode. I know, you know, many, many business owners that, you know, have been in business, myself included, for more than a decade, for more than two decades. And we're still in growth mode because we want to continually improve and continually grow our business. So there's no, you know, some people are just wired where there's no off switch. It's not, there's no like, okay, I'm comfortable. Okay, I'm good. You know, it's like, what's next? What's next? What's next? And you know, that growth pattern and that growth ambition is always there. So when we go back to The Champion's Creed, I'm not judged by the number of times I fail, but by the number of times I succeed. And the number of times I succeed is in direct proportion to the number of times I fail and keep trying. I mean, it's like that's huge. Like, you just, you know, it's like, okay, you didn't make this sale. Boom. On to the next. You didn't, you know, this project didn't go as planned. On to the next. Let's go. You know, as long as, you know, in my business, in, you know, when I was doing all, you know, speculative builds, infill, new construction, land development, I mean, stuff was crazy. Projects were crazy. It's like, you know, you'd get projects that, you know, you thought they were going to sell it, you know, $500,000, and you thought they were going to sell quick. And before you know it, they're on the market for, you know, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, or close to a year. And then you end up taking a haircut on the price, or, you know, you get overages in construction, and like, you know, things don't go as planned. But it's like, I am not judged by the number of times I fail, but I'm judged by the number of times I succeed. And the number of times I succeed is in direct proportion to the number of times I fail and keep trying. So just like, as a business owner, we got to keep going. And again, it goes back to sales. That's my main point. If you are in business, if you're a business owner, you're in sales. And if you don't think you're in sales, like, go ahead and tell me why you think, tell me about your business and tell me why you are not in sales, please. And I would love to know what businesses there are out there that don't involve some sort of sales in some capacity. You got customers, you have a product, you have investors, you have bankers that you're working with, you have some sort of, you know, entity, some sort of something, service or product that you're providing to others. Like, that's a sale. So if you don't think you're in sales, come at me, let me know. I'd love to hear it. So Tom Hopkins, How to Master the Art of Selling, absolute. Grab it, read through it, listen to it. It's a game changer. Keywords, what not to use, what to use, you know, things like that. That goes further into Hopkins and like the psychology of investing, the psychology of sales and things like that. But I don't think I'm going to get into that too much of that today. So that's key number one to running and growing a successful business is, you know, understanding that you're in sales and accepting that you have to be good at sales and you have to be good at customer communication, serving your customers, serving your investors, serving your suppliers, your clients, whatever it is, whatever your business is, you got to be good at sales and communications. Key number one. Number two, Mertu, how do we grow our business? How do we improve our business? Regardless of what your business is, how do we get some growth and how do we improve? It's pretty simple. If you're watching the video here, I just grabbed my cell phone. And this is the key, cell phone, whatever phone you use. If you are in sales and you have one of these, which everybody has one of these, here's a key. How to grow your business. If this thing rings, this is pretty basic, but a lot of people don't understand this. If this thing rings, answer it and talk to whoever is calling you. Answer it. Okay. If this little magic box here, known as your cell phone, is not ringing, pick it up and use it to make somebody else's phone ring. Bam. Simple as that. So many people get caught up in, let's go into that red zone, green zone activities. This one is a direct credit to none other than my good friend and mentor, John Burley. So when you're growing your business, when you're a business owner, there's two activities, red zone and green zone. Green zone activities are revenue generating activities, RGAs. Red zone activities are non-revenue generating activities. So red zone, green zone. Grab a sheet of paper, boom. Make two columns, red, green, and write down in the green zone activities. Green zone activities are things that generate revenue, aka money, aka cash in the bank. As a business owner, we need revenue, we need cash flow, we need cash in the bank. Those are your green zone activities. Red zone activities are things that need done, but they don't produce revenue. So let me give you some examples. I'm in, obviously, you guys know, real estate investment, development, private equity. We own and manage a lot of mainly residential real estate. So my revenue generating activities are, one, investor relations, creating and managing new portfolios, managing our current investors and creating new portfolios with potentially new investment partners. A number one revenue generating activity. If we have money, if we have more money to place, we can buy more real estate. So revenue generating activity number one for me, investor relations. RGA number two for me is acquisitions. Now, I have somebody on my team here at the office that does acquisitions, and he's an absolute ace. However, if I'm not doing number one, raising more money and creating more partnerships and having capital to place, then we can't do number two. We can't buy more properties. So raise money, buy houses. How do we buy houses? How do we buy properties? Three, we make written offers. So that's number three, raise money, buy houses. We buy houses through making written offers. Sitting here in front of my computer all day long on social media or LinkedIn, let's just say LinkedIn, scrolling around and, you know, reading people's profiles and doing things like that, reading articles. Like some might say, well, I'm getting to know these people. That's investor. No, bullshit. You're just wasting time. You're scrolling around on social media. Again, it goes back to pick up the phone. If your phone rings, answer it. If your phone is not ringing, use your phone to make somebody else's phone ring. That's how, you know, we accomplish number one, number two, number three, you know, revenue generating activities. That's how we work on our investor relations. That's how we buy more houses. Excuse me. So how about Zillow? If I'm scrolling around, I'm just looking out the window here. It's kind of like raining sideways or something like that. It's weird. Let's talk about making offers writing offers and buying houses. Is sitting at my computer or my acquisitions guy sitting at his computer, scrolling around on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or Zillow, or going through our lead generation, our pay-per-click lead generation, and looking, you know, looking at properties and looking at pictures of houses and doing, is that a revenue generating activity? No. Does it need to be done? Yes and no. I mean, you got to find stuff. You got to find houses to make offers on, but you make money by more, create more inventory and add more homes to portfolio or investments to portfolio by making written offers and meeting with sellers, meeting with motivated sellers, meeting with agents, going on the MLS, going into the MLS properties and having your agent make your written offers. And how is that done? Goes back to pick up your phone. If your phone rings, answer it. If your phone is not ringing, use your phone to make somebody else's ring. That's revenue generating activity number two. Or no, that was number three. Number one is investor relations. Number two is buying real estate. And through number two is number three, making written offers. This is my business. Yours may be totally different. And I'd be happy to have a conversation with you on red zone, green zone activities within your business, if you'd like. And let's say, let's go with number four. And we'll just leave it at here for the green zone activities. Number four, green zone activity number four is meeting face to face with pre-qualified residents to move them, get them committed and move them into a home, filling our vacant properties. So we raise money, we make written offers, and we buy more real estate, and we fill the vacant properties. Or if a property turns, we fill it with another qualified, pre-qualified resident. So that's our green zone activities. What are some red zone activities in my business? Let's see. There's a lot of them. Name anything else that is done throughout the day that isn't one of those top four is likely a red zone activity. Red zone activity would be calling utility companies, transferring utilities, building a website, updating a website, reposting your ads, some marketing, anything. As far as like, oh, I got to order business cards. I got to order my gear. I got to get my swag. I got to build my brand. All of that may be necessary to an extent, may add value to your business, but none of that's going to put cash in the bank. And to grow a successful business and have a successful business, we'll go back to you need cash in the bank. You need revenue, you need cash flow. And without that, nothing else matters. If you don't have revenue, if you don't have cash flow, you don't have cash in the bank, nothing else matters. So let's go red zone, green zone activities. I saw something that was that was pretty funny on the internet the other day. It was a meme, and it said, Deloitte. These guys were walking, they were carrying a sign. It was like a parade or something. And it said Deloitte. And it said, the last thing you see before you get a bill for $500,000 for a presentation by two 26-year-olds telling you to increase revenue and decrease expenses. Well, that's kind of a joke. It's pretty true. It's spot on accurate, the tail end of that, where, as a business owner, we got to increase revenue, we got to decrease expenses, just in case nobody's ever told you that. That's also a big factor in growing a successful business. When you're starting out or at any point in your business, your revenue and your cash flow must exceed your expenses. I see a lot of people, and I've talked about this number of times in the past, where, we talk about the shiny object syndrome and things like that, where, some people see a little bit of success, and they go out and they splurge and they celebrate and they celebrate too much, or, you know, the growth isn't exceeding the spending and the money habits. So talked about this plenty of times in the past too, especially as a business owner, you got to have proper money habits too. When we talk about, it's another big key to having a successful business. When, you know, your starting point is here and you grow, you see some success wherever here is, you know, here is, let's just say here is whatever. You start a business, you're a business owner. Prior to that, you were making what, let's just say, you know, $50,000 a year, whatever. Maybe that, let's just go with $100,000 a year, because $100,000, I guess, is like the new 50K, right? So you're making $100,000 a year and you decide to leave that job or whatever, start your business, and you go out like gangbusters. In your first year, you bang 250, right? Which isn't very common. You know, most businesses go the other way for the first couple of years. There's that growth mode, but let's just say you hit it hard. You bang that 2x, 2.5x your first year in business. Well, okay, I'm doing great. Let's celebrate. Let's party. Let's go out and buy a new car. Let's get a bigger house. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then before you know it, like that 250 is now your baseline, right? So like your expenses are in line with the 250 and you're like, man, I got to get to 500. I got to get to 500. And boom, you go up to 500 and you grow your business. You go up to 500, you get another house, you get, you know, bigger, you know, nicer cars, you know, more fancier restaurants, fancier vacations. And then boom, before you know it, 500K is now your baseline. And you see this time and time again, right? And it's like the, for so many people, it's like the never ending hustle. And I will tell you, first and foremost, I have and have had several friends that were making seven figures a year that were broke. Yes, over $1 million a year. And at the end of the year, at the end of everything, they didn't have anything because their spending habits were right in line or exceeding their income and the revenue. So think about that for a minute. Think about where you're at. And it's like, you think about where you're at financially and where your goals are to be. And along with your income goals, you have to have, I don't even want to use the word a budget, but you have to have some expense goals and some expense expectations as well. Because the idea here, like to be a successful business owner, is to increase expenses and increase revenue and decrease expenses. And if you look on a graph, like it's easier if I had a whiteboard to mark this out, but in revenue goes up, expenses go down. So when you go out on the graph, like you don't have to go as far out as you think to be in a very comfortable spot. And what I'm saying is, like, there's so many people that, you know, when think that, like, oh, I got to get to $500,000 a year. I got to get to $1 million a year and then I'll be good. Well, in reality, like, you probably don't need that. You just need better money habits and you need to watch your spending. And I'm not going to say, well, make your coffee at home and don't go to Starbucks, even though, you know, that could save you $5,000 a year. Right. But like all those little things that add up over the course of the year and put your credit card bill where it is and your expenses where they are, where you put your monthly nut where it is. Think about where you can trim the fat as you increase your income and decrease your expenses, and then ride that graph out and see where you really need to be as far as a business. But I know I'm getting off topic a little bit, you know, as far as where we're going, creating a successful business. So, you know, we covered that, the Tom Hopkins, the key to sales. You know, if your phone rings, answer it. If your phone's not ringing, use it to make somebody else's phone ring. And then next, a point that I want to make is when you're going into business for yourself, when you're creating something for yourself, don't compare yourself to others. That's the absolute worst thing you can do. Like, and especially where we live today in like the social media age, you have to understand that social media really is nothing more than a highlight reel. And it's a highlight of what people would like you to see and how people would like you to portray them in, you know, real life. They show you the highlights, right? So if somebody's miserable prick that's always down in the dumps, they're always going to be posting the negative shit. Oh, poor me, blah, 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 blah. Oh, this happened to me today. Oh, blah, oh, feel bad for me. Oh, my, I'm sick. Oh, whatever. You know, this happened, that happened, blah, blah, blah. And that'll be, you know, the negative spin. Well, that's their highlight reel. But like most people, their life isn't all, you know, misery. There's some good stuff too. But you know, with those people that are miserable, that live in, decide to live in misery, that's what you're going to see on their social media. And on the other on the other end of that, when it comes to like higher performers and business owners, like you might see the highlight reel. It's, you know, the nice cars, the nice houses, the nice this, the nice vacations. But what you might not see is the late nights, the early mornings, the 5, 10, 15, 20 years of, you know, 50, 60, 80 hour weeks that it took that person to get to where they're at right now. So when you see like the social media highlight reel, don't compare yourself to them. It's you versus you, not you versus them. Not like, you know, I had a good friend that owns a very successful business, and he built it up over nearly 20 years. And you know, he had made the comment one time. He says, "Do you want to do what I?" This wasn't to me. This was just a general comment to, you know, his team, his group. Said, "Do you want to do what I do what I did, or do you just want to get what I got?" Right? Because that's two different things. When you look at this gentleman, and you know, and here I am. I just told you if the phone rings, you better answer it. And I'm gonna hit the hater button on that one. Don't worry though, it was nobody important. It was just a potential spam, and that guy tries to call me all the time. So I don't think I'm gonna do business with him. So that's why I ignored that one. But anyways, the comment was made. Do you wanna do what I did, or do you just wanna get what I got? Right? So because this guy, gentleman, is in a very good spot financially right now, very successful business, big home, nice cars, beautiful family, family man, you know, the whole nine yards. And people see that and they're like, "Man, must be nice," right? Well, you got to remember that the must be nice comes with a must be price. So this gentleman in particular, we do some business together. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, we have conversations, like we get on the phone at 5 a.m. because that's when we're both free. That's when, you know, we're both at the gym a lot of times, going to or coming from. But we'll have conversations, a lot of conversations before 6 a.m., 5 a.m. a lot of times. We'll talk on Saturdays. We'll talk on Sundays. We'll connect, you know, whatever. And you know, that's how this man has created his business, created his very successful business, is because it's not a 9-to-5, right? It's not a 9-to-5. It's not even a 5-to-9. It's not even a 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. It's a whenever to whenever, right? So when you talk about growing businesses and, you know, comparing yourself to others, just remember that social media is just highlight reel. And let me say that one more time. Must be nice comes with a must be price. So if you want to put the work in and grow your business, there's some things you're going to have to put the work in, right? Bottom line. So covered the revenue expenses up, revenue up, expenses down. That's a key point as well. One last thing that I want to cover, and this was a Tom Hopkins takeaway from the book. So take whatever number. You know, I talk about picking up the phone and making the phone ring or making somebody else's phone ring in communications. You talk about building your sphere of influence. You know, if your business requires growth personally, you got to build your sphere of influence, upgrade your sphere of influence. There's the old saying, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So look at the crowd that you're surrounding yourself with. Are those the right people? Are those the people that you want to take advice from? Are those the people that you would trade places with? Right. So like so many people have, there's quite often that people comment, you know, on things that I do or things that I'm doing or things that I have done, in one ear and out the other. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. If I'm not willing to trade places with you, I don't care what you think of me, right? I don't care what you think of the decisions that I have made or that I will make. It's irrelevant. There's probably a handful of people that I truly, and I refer to quite a few people, probably right now, there's a half a dozen people that I consider very good friends and mentors of mine. And I say that often, mentors of mine. Why do I call them mentors of mine? Because I lean on them for advice often. And, you know, making some moves currently with my business and other things. And, you know, I lean on these guys for advice. And these guys, you know, that's smart. It's a good thing. Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Like, okay, if you make this move, that'll set you up to do this, to take this to the next level. So it's like, you know, chess, not checkers, right? We're playing chess. It's not checkers. So we're thinking next moves, next steps. And, you know, when I talk to my friends and mentors about some things that I'm working on currently, I get some feedback, and some of it good, some of it, you know, not what I was expecting. And that's why you have mentors. People that you can lean on so that you can get a different perspective of what you're doing. And, you know, when I take what I'm doing currently to my friends and mentors, they're like, smart move. It's good. Makes sense. Makes total sense. Here's why. And we talk about this. And then, like, if I have people outside of my mentor and friend circle, if I have people on the outside that see the moves that I'm currently making, they're like, what's going on there? Like, what's happening? You know, but asking questions like, well, first off, you know, making assumptions. Well, first off, like, your opinion doesn't matter to me. I don't care. What you think of me is none of my opinion. That comes from my friend and mentor, John Burley. Well, he's like, he'll get up on stage. He'll say, I haven't Googled myself in 20 years. Why? Because what you think of me is none of my opinion. What John will also say is what my capital investors think of me is important to me. And I never missed a payment. I never missed a payment. So I know my capital investors don't have anything negative to say about me. And, you know, that goes back to, you know, it's like most people's opinions don't matter. So anyways, let me move on to this. So when we talk about sales, you know, the key to a successful business is all about sales. So when you talk about sales, there's two ways to look at sales, right? So let's just say, for example, and this is a Tom Hopkins thing, and I'm going to close it out with this, I promise. It's a Tom Hopkins thing. When you have a product for sale, you're selling a product. Let's just say it's a whatever you sell or whatever you close on, whatever opportunity you close on is let's just call it $1,000 sale or $1,000 commission, right? If in your business, let's just say you have a 3% response rate, right? So what a response rate is, most people know, you send out 100 mailers, you get 3 people that respond to you that are interested. You make 1,000, you know, calls, you get 3 people that respond to you that are interested. You door knock, you're going to get more than 3 people that answer. But that's a response rate. And then let's say out of that, you have a 1% conversion rate, 1% of the whole, not 1% of the 3. So let's just say 3% response rate, 1% conversion rate, you get $1,000 sale for every conversion, right? $1,000 commission. So that's 1%. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means we have to make, if we have 1% conversion rate, we have to make 100 phone calls or send out 100 mailers to get a 1% conversion rate. And depending on your marketing, depending on your business, don't say, well, I get a 12%. It doesn't matter. Just do the math differently, right? It doesn't matter what your response rate is, what your conversion rate is. Maybe your conversion rate's 1 in 1,000 because you're selling something that's a super high price ticket item, or you're super, unique in what you're offering or what you're selling. But maybe your conversion rate and your response rate is lower, but your sale is a much higher amount. Like if you're, selling real estate, right? You're selling houses, you're selling cars or something that's, expensive. If you're selling, keyboard mouses, whatever it is, your response rate might be higher because everybody has a mouse with their keyboard, right? Or whatever. So let's just use that for example. $1,000 sale, 3% response rate, 1% conversion rate. So you make 100 calls, that equals one sale. One sale gets you your $1,000 commission. So many people look at this, it's like, I got to get that $1,000 commission. I got to get that one sale. I got to get that one sale. I got to get that one sale. Well, if you look at it differently, and this is what Tom Hopkins teaches, look at this differently. You got to make 100 calls to get one sale. One sale makes you $1,000. So what does that mean? If you look at it differently, every call that you make is 10 bucks, right? Because you got to make 100 calls. 100 calls times $10 is your $1,000 sale. So if you look at it that way, every time you pick up the phone and dial someone, that's $10, $10, $10, $10. I got my phone right here, right? $10, $10, $10. And so every time you make that call, even if it doesn't answer, look at it as 10 bucks. So when you adopt that mindset into your sales, it's a total game changer. So it's like, all right, I got 5 minutes till my next meeting. I could bang out 5 calls, and it doesn't take a minute to make a phone call, right? I got 5 minutes to bang out phone calls. So bang out 5 calls in that 5 minutes, you just made 50 bucks, right? Well, you didn't make 50 bucks in the bank, but your 5 calls closer to that conversion, which is going to net you $1,000. So look at it that way, and whatever it is. So if, I'm not going to sell anything for $1,000, I wouldn't get out of bed for $1,000. I'm going to send that one to voicemail. I will call that one back though. That was a good one, but I wouldn't do anything for $1,000. I wouldn't even get out of bed for it. So change the numbers, right? It's a $10,000 sale, right? $10,000 sale. You got to make 100 calls. Then to get one sale to make $10,000. So every call you make is $100, $100, $100, $100, $100 every time, $100, $100. That's pretty juicy. I mean, I don't know who's selling something for $10,000 with a 1%, conversion rate. But if you are, kudos to you. You're probably rolling in it. But anyways, that's it. Look at it that way. When you're selling, it's not about the conversion. The win is in the activity, right? The win is in the activity, not the close. So the more activities you do, the more closes you will get. So think of it that way. If you're currently selling, you're making 10 phone calls a week, and it takes you X amount of phone calls to get to a conversion, or to get to an appointment to get to a conversion, right? Well, multiply that, and whatever your KPIs are, whatever your conversion rate is, just look at it that way. Multiply it. You want to create more revenue and have more cash in the bank, make more phone calls and set more closing appointments. It's that simple. It really is. It's all about sales, regardless of what business you're in. Again, if you are in a business that you don't think involves sales in some capacity, please let me know. I would love to hear about it. But aside from that, I'm going to wrap it up for today. I thank you guys so much for tuning in. And again, happy St. Patrick's Day. I did take my hat and my beard off. I got a little stuffy there at the beginning. But anyways, happy St. Patrick's Day. You guys can all tell my kids that I wore my St. Patrick's Day gear for the episode here. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have anything you want me to cover, shoot me a message, shoot me a DM. Let's connect. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to have some more topics and hear what you guys want me to cover and talk about. But aside from that, I wish you all a great day. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you.